hey, you guys, you're going to want to listen all the way through to this episode because we're going to find out just how close one of us, it's Adam, is to having tried an Olympic sport that neither Kelly nor I have ever tried.
Because we'd be in the emergency room. You're also going to find out Forbes magazine's list of worldwide billionaires, and there's a couple of 90s connections.
And you'll never guess how low Sharon Hyland will bargain for Justin Timberlake tickets.
A big spender.
Enjoy the show, everyone.
90s Now with Kelly Alexander and Sharon Hyland.
Greetings, friends.
That was so official.
It's okay to go, you know, middle of the road sometimes.
Do you have a little name tag and you're like...
Hello, my name is Sharon.
At Sears or something.
That's Kelly and that's Adam.
Yeah.
Hi, everyone.
I'm trying to sound as AI as possible. Hello. How are you? So ridiculous, isn't it? That we'll be replaced by robots in a few minutes. Anyways, let's get to this show.
Yeah.
Okay, because we've got to tell you about how another band is striking while the iron is multi-million dollars hot. Also, which rock elder is shouting out a present-day goat? I love throwing the goat around.
Yeah.
Also, Kelly's trivia, I think, will put the screws to us in the nicest possible way.
And so sweet of you.
You're so kind. And your 90s rewind will take us back to 1993. And we just crossed the 30th anniversary of Kurt Cobain no longer being in this world. It's been 30 years. I just find that, put it on the list of things that's blowing my mind lately. Mm-hmm. You know, when you look back and you can say that you remember clearly what you were doing 30 years ago.
Yeah.
That's bonkers, man.
Yeah.
I realize I was a month close to never being on Earth at the same time as Kurt Cobain.
That's true.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I remember. You made it, Adam.
Yeah. I remember when the news came out because I was 17, I guess. Yeah, I was 17 at the time. I just turned 17. And I wasn't a huge alternative fan, but I just remember feeling like in my 17-year-old like brain, like just very, very sad and like.
Yeah.
And like empty, like just feeling like, man, like why him, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, he was only 10 years older than you and a year older than me at that time. I remember how powerful Nevermind was as an album, how it sort of changed the game because to that point, I mean, the joke is how grunge killed hair metal. I mean, it's a joke for us, not for anybody that was in a hair metal band at that time. But the idea that grunge was something new, I don't think that there's any form of music that's new. I think what's new is how open we are to it. And we were ready for something with that gravitas, you know, that the literal grunge of what that music was throwing at us, grabbing us by the plaid shirt and throwing at us. That's why we're starting 90s Now there today, because Frances Bean, daughter of the late, great Kurt Cobain, took to Instagram to share some pictures and some insight of a life without her dad here, but that she says he's always with her, which is what he promised her, which I thought was beautiful for such a young woman. To have such a grasp on the way I think the world works, I think she has more wisdom than people older than her, which is sad because the wisdom comes from having to live a life without a dad growing up, right? So if you want to find her on Instagram, you can. The Space Witch is her handle, if you want to follow along. She shared a black and white pic of his hands, which I think black and white always tells a greater story than full-on color pics. And it's neat when it's someone's hands, even neater for her because she was always told that she had his hands. Michael Stipe, lead singer of REM, I thought that was cool that he was the one that took the pic in the first place as a friend of Frances Bean's parents and her godmother. Pretty cool godfather. What I just love what she wrote. You guys, were you as... impacted by what she wrote? I feel like I was.
Yeah, I was.
It sort of gave me a minute, you know?
I was so impacted by it that I actually did a feature about it on the Weekend Morning Show that I was filling in on on our talk station. Because I'd seen on CTV, which is our like BBC here in Canada, basically. Or no, not BBC. That would be CBC. So CTV, right. Kind of like the
other national.
The other national. Yeah. They had done, it was Sandy Rinaldo, had done a piece on Kurt Cobain speaking to Alan Cross, musicologist. Mm-hmm. And so I saw that. And so I grabbed a chunk of that audio. And then I played that on the show, and then I talked about Frances's, like, her amazing post about her dad. And just like you, Sharon, like, I said, like, she's an old soul. She's wise beyond mm-hmm. her years. So very moving.
And she had to be. When you think of all the things that we heard about what her mom was struggling with when she was just, when Frances Bean was a child, the letter that Kurt wrote her included the line, "Wherever you go or wherever I go, I will always be with you." And so she added on to that in her post that he kept his promise because he is present in so many ways. Mm-hmm. So it's even that, you know, to be present yourself, to be an open to that sort of a knowledge, I think is wisdom beyond her earthly years. One thing I thought was extra great was the fact that she shared the lesson. And it's a long quote, but I think it's worth hearing, so I will just deliver right now. She said, or she wrote, "The biggest lesson learned through grieving for almost as long as I've been conscious is that it serves a purpose. The duality of life and death, pain and joy, yin and yang, need to exist alongside each other, or none of this would have any meaning. It is the impermanent nature of human existence, which throws us into the depths of our most authentic lives. As it turns out, there is no greater motivation for leaning into loving awareness than knowing everything ends." And I think that's one of the, I mean, what do they say? Death and taxes are the only truths, right?
Mm-hmm.
Led Zeppelin had a line, "All things are born to die." I'm butchering that line, but I think that we come onto the earth knowing that it's not forever.
Yeah.
And we get to points in our life where we're loving things and we're loving where we are, that we want it to last forever, but it's not gonna. So you have to be as present as Frances Bean, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty
incredible. I have nothing else to add.
Yeah.
I'm out of words.
Yeah. It's really cool. When you can learn from someone at any age, but when it's their experience that has been so, you know, has had some great sadness to it, that she's able to impart that wisdom upon us, I think is, we should be grateful.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I was, it's funny how, and funny is not the right word. It's interesting, we'll go with. Mm-hmm. Some people, like celebrities that I've seen in the last, like, X amount of time who have lost someone they've loved, and I'm forgetting the name of this particular celebrity because it's not someone I would normally follow. They might be a reality star. Mm-hmm. But they had mentioned that their brother had passed away, like, I think in the last 5 years or something. Anyways, I remember reading her quote because I think it was the anniversary of his passing. And it was just, I really love what she said because she's like, you know, he's always with me. And she's like, I am convinced I will see him again, because she's like, I believe that souls travel in packs. And she's like, we're in this pack together. And so she's like, I'm just waiting to see him again. That really struck me. And I was like, I'm going to go with that. I like that philosophy.
That's good. I think it provides a great consolation while, you know, for the ones that are left here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, may Kurt Cobain continue to rest in rock and peace. And may Frances Bean continue to educate us in the best possible way. How do you transition from that to the power that is Kelly's trivia? It's on you, Kel.
Okay.
I don't think you can.
90s. Now. Trivia.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
Let us
bing
wave bong. The dark clouds away. Yeah. So we'll start with sport. In which athletics discipline did Kenny Harrison leap to Olympic gold in 1996?
Sharon.
Adam.
Ooh.
You go ahead, Sharon.
Go, Sharon.
Skating.
No.
Damn it.
I'm going to go with, how do you say that in English? Saut en longueur.
Oh, the long jump?
The long jump, because he leaped to goal.
So that was a good guess. It was the triple jump. So that's the three leaps.
Oh, that was close enough.
No.
No.
I tried.
Have you seen people do the triple jump? Like, it's next level bananas. Like, I always think they're going to face plant. I worry for them when I see
it. I had to do it in high school.
The triple jump?
Like, we had a bunch of, like, disciplines we had to, like, try and just do. And triple jump was one of them.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Wow.
I don't recall being really good.
I don't think I've ever done a triple jump.
Don't start now, Sharon.
Is like a standing jump?
No,
is
you like a... you run and then you go like 1, 2, 3, like yeah.
Oh, yeah. 1 foot
and
in?
Like you need to alternate between foots.
Yeah.
Like I can't recall which one, but yeah.
Yeah, and I believe the third one is like when you you launch, like you go 1, 2, 3, launch as far as you can for the third. Yeah.
Wow. But you only launch with 1 foot, right?
One foot yeah.
Right? Huh.
Neat.
Yeah, I've done that. I remember.
I'm sure if I tried it today, I would pull something.
Yeah.
Irreparably.
There's certain positions that my huskies get into a lot with their necks too, like where they're in positions that I'm like, if I tried that, we would call the ambulance. Like,
yeah.
So it's very interesting. All right. So next one is hobbies, toys, and games.
Oh, good. That's promising. Hey, Adam.
In 1993, a Russian cosmonaut took his Game Boy to space with only one game. Which was it?
Sharon.
Oh, Sharon.
Tetris.
Yes.
Nice. Did you know that?
I did.
Wow.
It was an educated guess. Huh?
That, fair enough.
Good job, Sharon.
Well, yay me. Oh, man.
Is that an astronaut we know? I thought Russian astronauts were called cosmonauts, or is that just in French?
No, that's what in 1993, a Russian cosmonaut.
There we go.
Took his Game Boy to space with only one game.
But you said astronaut.
My bad, Adam.
Wow, is that what threw you?
They should give me at least half a point.
Yeah, is that what threw you, Adam?
Yeah, that totally threw me off.
Well, I don't judge between astronauts and cosmonauts. I just don't, okay?
Okay.
It's about the Tetris. It's about the gameplay. And in a bigger picture of gameplay, we can go to Sheryl Crow as an OG shouting out the new GOAT, that is Taylor Swift, for being a powerhouse for making the boss move of re-recording those albums so that she would ultimately control her stuff. So Sheryl Crow is like, the fact that she came up with solutions for how to not allow her music to be a moneymaker for other people when she should be owning it. I love that she called that out, because I think it's one of those things that we all know happened, and it is a fantastic thing that she did. That's the ultimate, and stick to them. She also talked about, Sheryl Crow, the idea of the male-dominated industry that she's long been a part of, but that Taylor Swift is certainly weaving her way through as a powerhouse. Mm-hmm. She said, there's not a handbook for how to navigate, as a woman, a business that is predominantly run by men, or for when you have a strong woman, how that challenges men and their feelings of importance. Sadly, this is me adding to it. Sadly, it's a reality. You have to figure out how to position yourself so as not to hurt anybody's feelings, which is ironic since, male leaders will often say women can't do that because of the feelings. They get too emotional. But what we know, I think, as women, and here's some wisdom for you, Adam, is that... emotion is everywhere, and that you have to just, I think, be respectful ultimately that everybody has emotions and stuff's got to get done. So
yeah, as a male, I disagree with that. Nah.
Are you just being like that?
I'm just being like that. I'm kidding.
Good.
He's trying to be controversial.
Okay, good, because I didn't want to talk the rest of this show with my teeth clenched.
I'm kidding, of course.
By the way, Sharon, before you move on, I don't think I sent this article to you guys, but just a quick mention. So Forbes magazine recently dropped their worldwide billionaires list.
Oh, yeah. Am I on it?
As you should be, Sharon.
Good.
And unsurprisingly, Taylor's on it. She was on it last year because she just crossed over last year into billionaire status. But
I thought she made it this year.
Well, I understood it was like tail end of last year, so to okay, me it should be 2023. I might be wrong. But the interesting thing is, so she's on there. 1.1 billion is her net worth. So, and she's the first female artist to have done that via only performance and music. Like, wow, that's how she did it. And then this is the 90s connection, is also first timers on that list. Dick Wolf behind Law and Order and the Chicago franchises.
Yeah.
He's now a billionaire. Isn't that crazy?
Like, wow.
Crazy.
Just because of his TV productions? Wow.
Yeah. And I don't know if he like did some, he probably has investments because of the money he's made from TV, but he's on there. And then my favorite all-time Laker, Magic Johnson.
Oh, wow.
Is now a billionaire. And I actually already thought he was one, but he's now crossed over. And he's made so many amazing decisions, like, as a businessman, like, since his playing career was over. Like, he was already into business when he was still playing. Like, he has so many, like, he has if memory serves, he has, like, an ownership interest in the Los Angeles Dodgers. Like, there's a bunch of things that he's into. And Michael Jordan is on there. He's already been on this list before, but his net worth is something north of $3 billion.
Wow. Yeah. The Dick Wolf connection. Do you think he gets money every time you hear that bong bong sound anywhere? Probably, eh?
Best sound effect ever on a TV.
Like, yeah, no kidding. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It says everything. The funny thing about Sheryl Crow and this shouting out Taylor Swift thing, because she does have experience in the field, is that she says she's been told or advised on numerous occasions to please just tone it down. And then she went on to say, I wish I would shut my mouth, but I can't do that. Yeah. So she obviously gets herself into some good trouble.
Yeah.
Interesting also that she's not super into the idea of releasing full albums because she thinks it's a waste of time and money because of how popular streaming is.
Mm-hmm.
But that she, having said that, had released her brand new album called Evolution just because she had, you know, that many good songs. That she thought, I'll do it.
So I still like albums.
Me too.
Me too. I think they tell a story. And if it's this, you know, if you believe strongly enough in the story that you want to tell, then you have to release that.
I'm not sure if this is confirmed yet, but word on the street from what I've heard, so we'll say allegedly, is that the Jennifer Lopez team not happy how her latest album is selling.
No
and
way.
Justin Timberlake also.
Justin Timberlake's not happy with the way J-Lo's album's selling?
Yeah, exactly. and his own.
Wait,
yeah.
Did Justin's album came out?
Yeah, March 15th.
Hmm.
You're almost a month behind there, Adam.
I missed that news, and I'm a JT fan.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, someone fell in the PR team or something.
If you have a chance, type in Google Justin Timberlake Tiny Desk.
Oh, I've seen it. I've seen clips of those. That was insane.
So good.
I love those concerts. What a smart idea that was for them to do that.
Oh, so smart. And actually, mm-hmm. there's an R&B artist that I think you both will appreciate. She did a Tiny Desk one also a couple years ago now, I think. So her name is Snow Allegra. So S-N-O-E, mm-hmm. Allegra. Please check it out. Yeah.
Okay.
I'll throw one at you, too, as long as we're throwing names out. Elton John and Bernie Taupin were given the Gershwin Prize, and they recorded a tribute show, I think it was like 3 weeks ago, and it was on PBS just the other night, and you can find it on their streaming service if you want to watch that. There's an artist, Annie Lennox, opened the show. Charlie Puth is on the show. Like, they all perform, right? So one of the performers is one that Elton John performed with at Glastonbury a couple of years ago named Jacob Lusk.
Okay.
And he does a cover of Benny and the Jets. He owned the crowd within the first minute.
Wow.
Who's the artist, you said?
Jacob Lusk.
Okay.
Of Gabriel's. So it was someone that Elton had performed with. And because he's such a great big supporter of new music and new artists and people trying to make it, he requested him to play at this tribute. And it's just so good. And you can watch just that performance online. It's very good. Highly advise.
Amazing.
Yep. We talked about also that the next band to jump into the, hey, let's sell all our stuff.
Yeah.
It should come as no surprise that the band that branded every single possible thing has now sold their catalog. Yeah, we're talking about the band that went beyond the t-shirt and program routine for selling things and, you know, sold everything from bowling balls, their own Monopoly game, and even the casket for the diehard fan. It's Kiss. And they have sold the rights to their music, name, makeup, and logo for $300 million.
Wow. I thought it was just the music.
That's a lot of dollars.
Yeah, I thought that was a bit low.
Well, I think it's one of those things that if someone offers you $300 million, what more could you get? Do you know what I mean?
I just feel like they have.
What more do you need?
Because I know it's not, you know, they already have a gajillion dollars. They don't need it. But, you know, I think Bieber got $200 million and he has nowhere near the career longevity that they have. You know what I mean? So I don't know. Adam, can you quickly Google, because was it Springsteen that sold his? Who else has done it?
And a bunch of them. Yeah.
Springsteen's done it, right?
Or
yeah. Yeah.
So that was in 2021 for an estimated $550 million.
Well, see, like, I figure Kiss should be there.
But at the same time, when you think of, you're talking about $300 million and Bieber at $200 million, that's still a $100 million difference. But then when you think, like you're saying, comparing Kiss to Bruce Springsteen, when you also consider the makeup, the logo, the name, everything, $200 million, I think maybe, you know, the companies that are buying these catalogs are putting more emphasis on the music catalog. Because Bruce Springsteen's got a long career of a lot of really thoughtful songs.
I feel like I could name more Springsteen songs than Kiss songs.
Yeah, and they've been around the same amount of time, I think.
I just feel like Kiss, because of who they, like everybody, like, I mean, I think even a 12-year-old at this point would recognize Kiss maybe, like if you put up a Kiss logo.
But I think that's the thing. That's maybe one outweighs the other. Maybe the logo, maybe the makeup, maybe the look, because they've branded every single thing. Gene Simmons even said the Kiss touring band is over. Mm-hmm. And what Pop House, the company that bought all the stuff, will do with our images, our music, and our personas is unlike anything anyone has ever seen. So it's interesting also because Kiss had seen one of the shows that ABBA did, the Voyage shows, and commented on how, you know, technology is basically always improving. So it'll be interesting to see if something like that will bring them to the stage in that way, long past, you know, their physical beings.
Mm-hmm. And just to get back to that Kiss and Springsteen comparison, I'm looking at Spotify numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Springsteen has 30% more listeners per month than Kiss.
Well, there you go.
So
they would have factored that in,
I guess.
And so. I think the catalog probably was worth more money 3 years ago. I don't think catalogs. I feel like the faster you sell it, the more money you're going to get.
Maybe.
Yeah, probably. Like, which makes, let's string these words together. It makes Justin Bieber even smarter.
Well, there you go. I'm looking at Justin's numbers. Justin Bieber has 5 times as many listeners per month than either Springsteen or Kiss.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
So.
Yeah. And I mean, Justin still has the time to obviously, because he's, it's like, I think Sharon, you talked about this when we talked about him selling. It's like his first chapter, really.
Yeah.
For Bieber, because he's just 30. Like, he just turned 30 this year. So.
Yep.
The only thing, it'll be interesting to see, because of his, the struggles he's gone through.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we'll get too many more tours out of him, because he's had some challenges trying to finish them.
Mm-hmm.
He does put out great singles, you know, great, great singles. So if he, once he gets
back
to
Vegas.
Pardon?
He's got to get to Vegas.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's Justin Timberlake that has a problem with Vegas.
I know. Everybody should just go. Yeah. Get over it, Justin.
Yeah.
Maybe if Justin Timberlake went to Vegas, his album would be selling better. Oh.
Let's
yes,
that.
I did.
Let's pass that
I was looking at the Spotify stats earlier. People are not listening to that album.
So, yeah, wow. for Justin Timberlake's album?
Yeah.
Everything I Thought It Was is the name of the album.
Yeah, his numbers are like 10 times lower. I compared it to Cowboy Carter by Beyonce. And I mean,
yeah,
it's number one on Billboard, so it's a hard comparison. But it's been out for over close to a month. And it's just not picking up.
I think this has to be really hard on him because I know from what some of the interviews I've seen, like I think he really thought this one was going to go.
And it might be really good. Maybe it's just the marketing around it wasn't good.
I've listened to clips of songs. I haven't had a chance to fully listen to it. There's a couple that I think are very good. But I think, I don't know if he's missing, you know, like a sexy back on this album. Is he missing?
I can tell you that another one of the songs that is on a loop in my life, along with Lenny Kravitz, that new one called Human, is NSYNC Better Place.
Oh, yeah. That's a great song. Yeah.
That's honestly, and this is, it probably would be no fun to be in the car with me because I'm like, listen to the song, singing the song, play it again. Yeah. Listen to the song, sing it, let's do it again. Like 4 or 5 times in a row. Like if it's that good and you can listen to it on repeat like that.
Yeah.
So maybe there should have been an NSYNC album.
Yeah.
Maybe not just a Justin album.
Maybe this will, and actually, so too, I don't know how his shows are obviously very good. The last one I saw was 2014 when he was here. I think he did come in with the other one in 2018.
He did. I saw the Man of the Woods tour.
Oh,
so that
did?
Must have been 2017 or 2018.
Yeah. And I
don't
know
which one I saw, but it was very good.
The 2014 one was amazing. And I know his choreographer, Marty Kadelka, and they're super jazzed about getting out on the road. They're heading out very soon.
Cool.
So I know the show will be amazing, but I don't know how tickets are selling. Like, I don't know.
I would go to that show. I would pay like at least 3 digits to go to that show for sure.
I would go as your guest.
Are you buying dinner?
If you're buying my ticket, we can go for a sandwich.
Okay, I'll think about it.
Sharon, you should at least spring for sushi.
Soup?
Soup.
You like soup?
No solid food for you, Adam.
No.
Just
can
some
we get
broth.
Extra crackers, please? We all work in radio. You know what I mean. Okay, guys, you ready for your 90s rewind?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. We're going back to 1993. And this was when I came up with this year for this show. It was a little more timely because we had a flash snowstorm here a few days ago. You'd never know it by looking at what we got spring-wise in our little section of Canada right now. But number one on the charts around this time in 1993 was Snow. Haha, proudly Canadian. And Informer.
They're Canadian?
Yeah.
Wow.
He, yes. Snow.
Oh, I thought
Canadian.
Snow was a band.
No.
Wow.
Snow
is
Snow Patrol.
Condition and a fella.
Yeah.
Yep. Licky boom boom down. All right. Go from that to nothing but a G-thang, Dr. Dre. Mm. Dr. Dre's been getting some nice attention lately, too, hasn't he? Got the star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Yeah.
He's just... Is he not a billionaire, too?
He's a billionaire, yeah.
Yeah. We're happy for him. Anyways, how about a shout-out to our buddy Shane? Because Spin Doctors were rocking the clock back around
Shane.
This time in 93 with two princes.
Yeah.
So shout-out to our one prince. A little bit of extra. I'll throw some Duran Duran your way in Ordinary World, which totally holds up this many years later. Same with Whitney Houston's I'm Every Woman. Timeless classic. And since we should wrap with Cheers, we can. Hip Hop Hooray from Naughty by Nature. Heard that the other day and realized, hey, that was 1993 and it was around this time back then. And that is your 90s Rewind.
Good job, Sharon.
Thank you. We're spreading some fake news. I just want to put it out there.
Are we?
Great. What is it?
Mr. Dre, Doctor by his first name.
Yes.
Would only be worth $500,000, according to what I'm seeing. Half a billion.
Oh.
So he would not be a billionaire.
$500,000.
But
he's going broke.
Yeah.
Because he was. I think when he sold his share of Beats, he hit the billion. Because remember, they made a big deal about it.
Well, because everything I'm seeing now says between 400 and 400 and $5 million.
Maybe he bought a big boat.
Maybe he told the internet to shut up.
Yes.
He didn't want any more relatives coming to ask for money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm?
That's exactly
That's
what
way
that
it works.
Is. Yeah. By the way, just a quick mention, because Sharon mentioned I'm Every Woman. For our other, you know, fans that are watching the show, followers, there's a Montreal artist named Rev, R-E-V-E.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she has a song called Whitney. And mm-hmm. she samples, or they interpolate, or whatever the hell they call it, that song, I'm Every Woman. And it's very good.
So, I think I know Rev's mother.
Do you? Oh, yeah, because her name, her real name is Brianna something something.
Yeah, if it's who I'm thinking of, then those words are out of my mouth, and I'm like, you sound old. Don't say it. And then it's out of my mouth.
Too late. Yeah.
Adam, can you quickly check her last name? Because Sharon, yeah, she's from DDO, so.
Yeah, it's her.
Okay.
Brianna Donolo.
Right.
D-O-N-O-L-O.
Is it Donolo? I don't know how they pronounce it, but anyways.
You don't have to pronounce her last name because she goes by Rev.
Because she goes by Rev. Anyways, check out that song called Whitney. Very, 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 very good.
How yeah. good? Very, very, very,
very, very, very good.
Yeah. That's good.
That's, yeah.
All right. Well, that's our time.
Yes, that's our time.
We did it.
We did it, you guys. Thank you very much, everybody, for joining us. We appreciate that you found us. You've passed it along to your friends. You're traveling in a group right now with your own headphones on. Listening, laughing, not pointing, but listening and laughing. Thank you very much for listening to 90s Now, Still Happening.